your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to The Gathering here on the Para-X Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie on another Tuesday.
It is, and we're excited to be back. Of course.
We are. After a 3-day weekend, it was a little hard to get back in the groove, though, I got to say.
Was it?
I don't have
traditional weeks like
I know
a
you
lot
don't.
Of folks,
you
so I don't know this the difference.
Yeah, no, it was. And, you know, Casey, my daughter, has a new job, so now she's working like every day super early. So I had to, you know, make sure everybody had their stuff before I left this morning all by myself. I was a little crazy, but I took Melly for a stroll at like 5:30 in the morning, which I forgot how much I love walking at 5:30 in the morning. I got to say it was fabulous.
Spring and summer. Yeah.
Yes.
5:30 in the morning in like February is not the same.
Well, it's a little chilly. You know, I've taken him, you know, when Duncan was younger, we used to all go, you know, every morning we'd go out and we'd go for our walks and stuff. But, you know, Duncan can't really walk that far anymore. And so I left this morning thinking, oh, Duncan's going to be so mad at me. And when I got home, he was still in his bed snoring away. And I'm like, he didn't even know we were gone. So it was all good. It was all good.
Yeah.
But
this time of year, I love getting up early in the morning and going outside and with a cup of coffee, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm saying early. I mean, I know it's not early for some, but, you know, like 6:00.
Yeah.
And just sitting outside and just, the energy is awesome.
Oh, I know. I agree.
You hear all the animals and no traffic usually, not too much anyway. And yeah, it's good.
Yeah. I used to always like to share donuts with Duncan on the deck.
Is that where you got his name, Dunkin' Donuts?
No, Duncan is an Irish name, and it means he's a little dark warrior, you know.
Ah, got it.
I mean, it fits him perfectly. But Dunkin' Donuts, he loves donuts. He's just like his mama, you know. So anyway, so Heidi, what's up? You told me, you were telling me you have a new project happening. What is it all about? You said it was different than your normal stuff.
Yeah, you know, I got this, I think it was an email. No, I think it was through Facebook. I got a message. And this gal said that she's terrified to sleep and she needs my help. And and this is through my paranormal page. So I, asked her to email me just some details and, you know, 'cause I've got a lot of people contacting me all the time.
Right.
And so just so I can get, you know, a little bit of a focus before we start communicating. So just send me an email. Here's my email address. Send me an email with some details. And she sent me an email, and it was, you know, about abductions and UFOs and all this stuff going on. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't usually get those because I don't advertise myself as a UFOologist, however you say that.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't even know how to say it. I'm paranormal, but I'm like, hey, she's contacting me. Here we go. And so I ended up talking with her on Friday, and everything about it sounds legit. And the best part about the call is when we were talking, and she was kind of worked up. I mean, you know, she's telling her story to someone that she probably doesn't tell it to very many people, I'm imagining. And, you know, here's a story that sounds far-fetched you know, on a good day. And
right.
She gets worked up. And then finally she said, okay, so that's everything. I mean, what do you think? Do you believe in this stuff? Do you believe me? And I said, yes, I do believe you. And you can just feel all of the energy just run out of her body. And she just let out this big sigh and she said, thank you. That's all she said was thank you. And I think just knowing that someone believes her is huge.
Yeah.
You know, that she, cause she's, you know, I mean, as you know, with paranormal, people think that they think that they're losing their minds sometimes.
Oh yes. Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, it's just, and you know, sometimes we have to go places where maybe it isn't paranormal. It could be something else. And, but sometimes it is. And this one, everything she told me, I thought, you know what? I do think that this is really happening. And she was talking about different episodes throughout her life since she was 8 years old that she had had experiences with UFOs and missing time after these experiences, and then finding
all of the commonality, right, is they're missing time when they have these experiences with the UFOs. Yeah.
And two of the experiences, she found something hard, it sounds like she was described it as a little bead or something under her skin in her arm.
I don't like that.
It would just appear out of nowhere. And, you know, after this experience. And it's happened twice now that she's found those. And so I think, well, that's interesting. And one of the experiences happened when her adult daughter was present. So I thought, well, we're going to go over to her house because one of the experiences happened at her house just recently. And that's where she's like, I don't know. I can't do this. And so we're going to go check it out. And almost treat it like a paranormal investigation. I'm bringing my investigators with me and a good team. I think we're going to go over there with about 6 people and just see what we can get for baselines and see you know, what happens. I think if we can get a group together to maybe stay out in the backyard one night, you know.
Yeah, exactly. See what happens.
See what we can
uncover. Amazing what you see. Does she live in the country, in the city? Is it in Minnesota?
It's in Minnesota here. Yeah. And that's a question in the chat room from Mike.
Yeah.
Mike in the chat room was asking if it's Minnesota. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. So we are going to be able to stick close to home for this one.
That's fun. And, you know, it's amazing what you see in the sky at night because, you know, last year, Jerry and I did a lot of investigating down at Elmwood for UFO days. And we actually went to a farm down there where they say that they see these UFOs all the time. And we had all our equipment out there and we were looking at the skies. And it's amazing what's floating around in that sky at night when you're down there and you're actually looking for something, you know. It'll be interesting to see what you find.
Well, what's really interesting is that I, while I was on the phone with her, out the window, I don't know how I would see this other than something upright because it looked like a creature going past the window really fast. Oh. And if I could say that it looked like the fur of a wolf because it was kind of a gray brown. But it was tall enough that I don't know how a wolf could be seen from the window. It was ground floor, but still, it's like there shouldn't be a wolf that's that tall that I could see it. And the fur almost looked like it was on a leg, you know, like it, or an arm, like it, how it
you
has that
a dog ground. Man out there, Heidi.
I don't know.
You're kind of living out in the sticks now, kind of, sort of.
So, I don't know. It was interesting. So that happened. Yeah. And then there was another phone, we kept getting disconnected when we first got on the phone. And then I saw that thing. And then there was some interesting activity that's been happening since then. And I'm like, I don't know. I wonder if this is connected to, you know, because let's say this is UFO. Let's say that she has an implant and they're tracking her and monitoring what she's doing, right?
Oh, that's scary.
So now they know she's talking to me.
Yeah, I don't know that I would talk to him, really, honestly. I don't want him to come around my door. You know, that's like the Mothman thing. I don't want him coming around my door either.
Well, I'm looking for Mothman, too, so I'll take Mothman.
I know you are. I know you are.
So I'm like, I want to go outside now at night.
Yeah.
Or during the day. I guess I saw it during the day. It was Friday. So, but I want to see if I'm getting checked out. So I hope I find something. You know, be careful with what you wish for. I mean, I'm kind of excited. Gosh.
Yeah,
and then I know if it gets to the point where I don't know what to do with it, I'll have to contact maybe someone that's more, you know, someone to MUFON or something to to help out with this if it gets to that point. But yeah, I'm kind of excited.
Well, there you go.
So stay tuned. I'm going out there the first week of June. We are going to head out there. So it was as soon as I could get out there.
Good. Awesome. Wear aluminum foil.
I don't know that that's going to help, but thanks for the tip.
That's funny.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. That was on Jerry in the chat room there. Thanks for the tip, aluminum foil hat. I will.
Yes.
Yeah, and Joe in the chat room is saying lots of deer, coyotes up there too. Yeah, and I would almost say, like, I've seen coyotes
in
person, and yeah. I see them, and I've seen what they look like because they got up close to me once when I was taking my dogs for a walk, which was really scary.
Mm-hmm.
They had no fear of humans. But it didn't have the width to the leg or arm or whatever this was that I saw that this thing had. Mm-hmm. Because it had the curvature of a limb, but it was too high up to be a wolf.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting. Yeah. I don't know what to say. You should keep a watch out for that. Maybe do you have a trail cam? You should put it
I'm going to set one up.
Yeah. Because that would be fun to see.
Yeah,
you know.
I got to get one and set one up because I think that I might actually uncover something.
Well, I have one. You can borrow mine. You know, I have one for squatters.
Yeah.
You know, so you can borrow it. And it's really fancy. You know, it's got all the cool stuff on it. So, yeah, just let me know. I'll bring it next time. But anyway, well, I suppose we should get to our guest who's been patiently waiting, right?
Yes.
So, you know, Heidi and I love cryptids, and we have Mike Richburg on the line, on the show tonight from North Carolina. Rich, I can't remember, or Mike, I can't remember if you're from North Carolina or South Carolina. The Carolinas.
South Carolina.
South Carolina. There we go.
South.
Because it's hot down there.
Oh, yeah. We're even a little hotter than it is in North Carolina right now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you were saying before we got started how hot it was right now, and I think we would all pass out if it was that hot that quick here.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
yes.
It's definitely been warm pretty early on this season, which is not that unusual for the area.
So you've been hanging out in the cryptozoology field for a lot of years, and one of the things you told me was that you have investigated lizard man, which is a favorite beast that we have talked about on the Gathering Radio Show. So tell us what you know about lizard man.
Well, yes. Being a cryptozoologist living here in South Carolina, I was very excited around 1988 to first hear of reports of a so-called lizard man and being more widely known as the Lizard Man of Scape or Swamp or Bishopville, South Carolina.
Hmm.
And I found that was very interesting to me. I was already into the field of study for about 10 years prior to that based on a Bigfoot sighting I had in 1978.
Cool.
So about a decade in, the Lizard Man thing broke out, and I always thought that was fascinating, of course. So I lived at the time about an hour or so, hour and a half drive from the general area. And I would spend a lot of weekends, you know, around Bishopville, South Carolina, all around Scape or Swamp in the general area, talking to folks, stomping around in the woods, you know, just learning what I could because, you know, I just thought it was something of great interest. I've always been kind of a curious fellow, and if there was a lizard man out there running around, I wanted to know all about it. And it was funny because, like, at first, when I first heard about it, you know, I'm thinking lizard man, I'm, you know, it's like some dinosaur-like, you know, sure enough, walking upright bipedal gator or something. I don't know, you know, a lizard. But when I got to looking into it in a little more detail, and it turns out that a lot of the reports, the majority of reports, including perhaps the most famous account by Christopher Davis, reported consistently a hair-covered body. And sometimes what was reported and also in the case of the Chris Davis encounter, were scaly hands and feet and a scaly face, perhaps.
Hmm.
And I think the lizard man of Skateboard Swamp is probably not a lizard man, but as soon as the media heard, you know, covered in scales of water, boom, it took off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. But at the same time, as a researcher, I have to put some credence into what the witnesses were actually saying. And that was indeed that the body was covered with hair. And that's more of a mammalian trait than one of a reptilian, if you will.
I never
did see the lizard man myself. You know, it wasn't from a lack of trying, of course. I had time and gas, so I was going to go down there and mess around in the woods. And I had a place of permission to be on a farmer's land down there. And on the following, well, the thing broke out, hit the mainstream in 88. And in 89, I was up there, and I did cast a track that, to me, looked like a slender human foot, almost with three toes instead of five. And there again, when I was walking through the woods, you know, looking for anything I could find, I correlated that as, you know, at least possibly connected to the lizard man. And oddly enough, tracks like that have been found in other places, most notably in Falk, Arkansas, in the early 70s, in a bean field. You know, there was a famous three-toed track cast at that location. But that's a recurring theme with the three-toed tracks, if you will. So I did see a track like that, and I casted it. And it was not a very good example, but at the same time, it was something to go on. And when I found that track, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. There again, am I looking for something that looks like a gator track, or am I looking, you know, for something that looks like a dinosaur? I mean, I don't even know. What am I looking for? Like, you know, it's like a little velociraptor running around. What does a lizard man even look like exactly?
Right.
You know, but in the whole time, it was kind of a learning process as I was getting more in the minutiae and the fine details, if you will, of the various reports that I was aware of at the time. I developed a theory based on the hair recurring in reports that maybe it really wasn't a lizard man per se, and was open to the possibility that it was something closer to a Bigfoot or something of that nature than it would be a bipedal reptilian. And again, you know, the media plays a large role in things of this nature sometimes, especially when a small town in nowhere, South Carolina, you know, has something like this occur. The media takes off with it. And then, you know, it didn't take long, I'll put it this way, that the newspapers in New York City had my man living in the sewers under Bishopville. And, there ain't even there's no underground infrastructure in Bishopville, South Carolina or whatever. You know, it's just a small rural town that's barely got a sidewalk or whatever. You know, I mean, I hate, you know, it's just a lovely town. I'm not knocking it in any way. But there's no, like, the media portrayed one picture when reality was kind of a little bit different. And there were, like, some horribly fake tracks that were photographed and was in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and all this stuff. And it just, you know, it was kind of, like, out of control and becoming a joke to a lot of people.
Right.
But the sad thing to me is it wasn't really a joke. As a cryptozoologist, I feel that there was obviously people were seeing something. For there to be that many reports that had that many common elements and such a close geographical correlation, that there had to be something, in other words, at the core of what the phenomena, if you will. So while I don't think there is a lizard running around in Bishopville, a lizard man per se, I will say I think that people had been seeing something, and still to this day in the area will see things on occasion up there, but it may be more of something closer to a primate order than a reptile.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And have you, if there are still sightings, one of the things that when we were kind of looking into this briefly, was the connection between lizard man and, was it solar eclipse?
Yeah.
I think it was a solar eclipse. You found that to be true?
There's not enough reports available to me, at least that I'm aware of, mm-hmm. that you could establish a correlation of that nature that I'm aware of. There may be somebody else that has access to more data than I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, of course, I'm not the only person to investigate the phenomena. And I would go ahead and say that my good friend and colleague, Lyle Blackburn, would likely be the foremost authority on the matter. And I would defer to him maybe on that, just because he may have. And if anybody's seen more reports than me, it's Lyle, put it that way. Mm-hmm. And Lyle's the kind of investigator that leaves no stone unturned, if you will. And he surely did a very, very thorough analysis of the whole situation and wrote a very fine book that I highly recommend to everybody. And I did also make a small contribution, in a small way to that work. And that's Lizard Man, the true story of the Bishopville Monster. If anybody would like to pick that up, I can guarantee you that is the ultimate work on the current level of knowledge regarding the subject matter. And I know for a fact, Lyle, he saw police reports that nobody else had at the time and stuff like that. So I know he did a very deep and thorough investigation. And I was happy to assist, of course. But I'll say this. Again, there was something to it. I'm convinced. You know, and like Christopher Davis, he didn't have a lot to gain. And that's the most famous account, was a young man. He was changing a tire at 2 o'clock in the morning on some back road by a bean field. And about the time he got done changing the tire and he was putting the jack in the trunk and the flat tire and all stuff, something came across the bean field and approached him. He said it had glowing red eyes. It was covered in green-looking hair. Now, it was dark, so you got to take that, you know, grain of salt, maybe. But one of the most interesting things, and this is the most prominent case that was mentioned here, he said the thing, as he got in the car to flee, jumped on his vehicle.
Oh.
And he clearly saw that the animal had three fingers. Now, again, that's a recurring theme sometimes. Three fingers and three toes. And that is straight out of the Hide Behind 101 manual. Have you ladies ever heard of the Hide Behind?
Mm-mm. No.
All right. Well, Hide Behind is basically like, let me explain it this way. I don't know, 300 years ago, a lot of white folks come over here from Europe. And as they was coming over here, they come from different places in Europe, France, England, where have you. All right. So different cultures, but still, yeah, they was coming over here. Mm-hmm. Well, they were seeing things in the woods. And it's, you know, widely reported in different outlets of the period, different newspapers mostly, because that's what they had. Of unusual animals being seen in the woods. And perhaps if you were a French descent, you would relate it to a rougarou or a loup-garou, which is like a French werewolf, if you will. But if you were English, you might, if you saw a hairy dogman-looking critter peeking around a tree at you, you would call it the hide behind.
Oh, got it.
This is a very common term used by English settlers.
Ooh.
All right. So the hide behind is reported, including in very, very old reports, to have certain defining physical characteristics, a certain morphology, if you will. The morphology in that case, almost without fail, is a prominent snout with prominent canine teeth,
mm-hmm.
upright, bipedal, with a carried tail and three fingers and three toes. So when I'm out traipsing around the woods for the last four decades or so, and I've been doing this for 41 years now,
cool.
I will, on occasion, like I did up there in Bishopville area, find a three-toed track or a set of three-toed tracks.
Are there claws or any that you can tell or any kind of?
That is a very good question. Sometimes you can't really tell, but yes, in cases there is either a toenail or a claw there, obviously.
Okay.
If you could find a good enough print. That's the problem.
Like what would be considered the arms and the legs or?
Well, I don't know that I ever seen a hand print except maybe one time, and that's kind of a wild guess, but I mean.
I just didn't know from like from witnesses the track, maybe.
Right. That's hard to correlate because most of the time the witnesses don't denote, oh, yeah, and the hand was wrapped around a tree and I only saw three fingers or four fingers or.
Yeah, I suppose it's happening pretty fast.
I saw a track and it had. Yeah, see, it's, yeah, exactly. That's what I was kind of alluding to. It just, you know, it's such an overwhelming thing. You know, I don't even remember, dude. I just know it had pointy ears and it looked mean or whatever, you know. You know, so, like, people sometimes don't. And then, also, there are some witnesses that do. But I haven't really, there again, there's not enough reports like that. We do have some so-called dog man or what I like to use the term wolf ape, like some folks call them around here, sightings. These reports exist, but there's not a really large number of them known to me. So there again, it's difficult to start establishing patterns unless it's in almost every report. But I just know from personal experience when investigating these reports and also independent research on my own, not directly related to what anybody else had told me, I will on occasion document, mostly photograph, a three-toed print. Which I find fascinating.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It is. It is, for sure.
Cool. And the interest, it's interesting, too, about the hair or the fur, you know, for something like that. That's not anything I would have thought of. But then again, like you said, the media wraps around something and then it can be totally distorted from the original eyewitness stories. So, yeah, that's interesting.
All right. Well, and Heidi, remember when we talked to Lauren Coleman about the Lizard Man? And he was talking about sightings way out in California, right? He just rattled off a whole bunch of dates and names and places. And, you know, the man is an walking encyclopedia of cryptids.
That we had specifically asked him about the solar eclipse, I think. And he talking about some possible relationship with that. So I don't know. I think it's really interesting.
It is. It is. There's just weirdness everywhere you go, you know.
Yep. Well, there's no doubt that, if you don't mind me interjecting here real quick, there's doubt that, you know, like moon phase affects most every animal and in sun activity also. Like, I'll give you a good example. On the day of the solar eclipse recently, a while back that we all had fun with here in the United States, I noticed several things because I like to observe things like that and how it affects nature because I'm a bit of a nature lover. So I immediately noticed several things about the lighting and stuff like that. But what I really noticed and found more interesting was animal activity. The difference, the day bird stopped and the night bird started. Okay? So you're telling me within a matter of minutes, we went from the animals were actually conducting daytime activity to actually conducting nighttime activity going back to daytime activity. They are quick to go right into that night cycle. You know, if the sun gets covered up, that's good enough for them. Here come the night birds or whatever. So that affects wildlife also. And when I was a child, I can also testify that during a solar eclipse one time, I caught more fish than you could shake a stick at because they thought it was getting dark and they went to feeding and it started getting daylight. It was like 2 days worth of fishing in one.
Nice.
So,
they think it's dusk and off they go.
That's right. I mean, and that has a lot to do with why they feed when they do and all that. But, I mean, it's all tied together. The sun, to make your point or whatever, you know, it just, it can't help but have an effect.
Yep. And that's kind of what I wonder, too. It's just, like you said, every creature in some way, shape, or form is affected by, you know, the constellations, the sun, the moon, you know, all these things that, you know, we might just not realize because we are used to it. But, you know, that could shift the behaviors of these creatures that allow them to be more active or maybe a little bit more interactive, you know, depending on what's going on in the right. in the solar system. So, yeah, I think it's super cool.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Awesome.
So, Mike, we have some questions for you about some cryptids, but we're going to have to take a commercial break here for a minute. And then we can we want to ask you about some things that have been, we think are specific here to Minnesota, but we want to see what you think about some of our possible Minnesota
All right.
cryptids. Okay?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Sounds good.
So we will be back in 2 minutes. This is The Gathering on the Para X Network.
Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi? Heidi? Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey,
what has your attention? Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling radio show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on Para X.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view. Back where I belong.
Please, please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No.
Well, that's your misfortune.
Where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's The Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para X Radio Network.
Welcome back here to The Gathering on the Para X Network, and we are talking about cryptids tonight, and
yes.
It's been an interesting discussion so far. We've been talking about Lizard Man, and Mike, we're very glad to have you here with us and talking about one of our favorite topics of Lizard Man. We kind of went on to that, and I don't know where we came from, but anyway, so we wanted to ask you about some cryptids that we've heard about here in Minnesota. Steph, why don't you tell your story?
Yeah. So, you know, we have, you know, it's interesting, Mike, because I think that the North has different cryptids than the South, and you all call Bigfoot different names than what we call them up here. But, you know, in our field wanderings around, and we talk to a million people every time we're out there, and one, actually, he was a native from up on the reservation up North, told us a story about Dog Man. You know, we all know about Dog Man, and he was out on this road up there by Bemidji, and you know, described him to a T, but then he also told us about this other cryptid that he saw years ago. I don't even know when. I mean, it was 10, 20 years ago. And he said it was, when they first saw it, it was like a bird the size of an owl up in the tree. And then it turned its head towards them, and it had the face of a human. Have you ever heard of such a thing? It had a human face on a bird of prey's kind of body, about that size.
I have personally never heard tale of such thing.
Yeah, right? That's a stumper. And then the crazy thing is so this guy was probably about, I don't know, maybe 35, I don't know. And so he was pretty young when he saw this. And, you know, as young kids are, they were scared. One of them had a gun, and they actually shot this creature, a bird. And it fell to the ground, and they were all scared, so they ran. And he said the next day they came back there to see what it was, and there was nothing there. There was nothing to indicate anything was ever there. So isn't that an interesting story? But yeah, he said the face, when the head turned towards him, it had the face of a human. And I said, how could you shoot such a thing? You know? And he's like, well, I didn't. It was my friend, you know, but whatever. And I'm like, that is bizarre. And everybody we tell this to is like, confounded. They just have never heard of that before.
Yeah, I've never heard of stories.
Stories that are kind of similar, but not quite. Not that whole twist about the human face. You know, that was just unbelievable crazy.
Yeah, I've certainly had my run-in with large raptors, but that is something that I've not encountered.
Yeah, isn't that weird? I know everybody gets stumped when we talk about that one. So
that's
we have to look
for
it. Yeah, we meant to get to that area the last time we were up north last weekend, and we just, you know, the rain was incredible, and we were out and looking for Sasquatch instead because it was just easier, but we'll get out there. We'll get out there at some point this summer and see what's up there, because all the natives up there tell us all these crazy stories about this specific area, and in this specific area, they talk about dogmen and creatures that look like Ewoks running on the side of the road, and Just strange phenomena. So we'll have to go do a little camp out there and see what we can find. But interesting. So what is your favorite cryptid to research, to look for?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess historically speaking, I've done more Bigfoot investigation than anything else. Mm-hmm. Probably more than everything else combined. But my favorites would probably have to include the dog man / wolf ape / hide behind Lugaroo, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting to me, and probably the only thing I'm really afraid of in the woods too much. That thing creeps me out a little bit. But
why is that?
The dog man is just, I don't know. It's just like the behavior and the weird noises and stuff it does, you know, just creepy stuff. But also, I would say that as a witness, I would say a very large avian. I saw what I would describe as a giant eagle one time. When I say giant, I would say 2.5 to 3 times the normal size you would expect to see.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it very clearly in a roadway, and I had to slow my vehicle to keep from striking it, and it flew away with a small deer in its group.
Oh my.
What?
There were other witnesses in the vehicle. I was driving my truck at the time.
How big was this bird?
Its wingspan, when it turned around, it was originally facing me, then it turned around with its back to the truck and took off with the deer it was standing on. But he opened his wings up to fly. You know, he kicked his wings up. And when he did, one wingtip was over the ditch and one wingtip was over the center line of Highway 21, of South Carolina 21, or whatever, however wide that is. And, you know, I bought it when I immediately, it looked like 2 sheets of plywood when he opened his wings up. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty close. We were close. And I had to slow the vehicle almost to a stop. And I would say at least like a 16-foot wingspan, and probably a little more than that.
Oh, my God.
Which is a lot bigger, you know, probably at least twice, maybe 3 times as big as it's kind of supposed to be.
Well, yeah.
And there's been some other strange activity around I might could also attribute to that if I stretched a little bit. But that's something that's special to me as a witness.
Wow.
Just like, I guess if I'd have saw whatever the lizard man is, that would be the one that I'd be most fired up on, you know, or whatever. I've seen the Bigfoot. That's what started all this for me again, way back in the day. And I saw that big bird. Also, something that's kind of interest to me are giant snakes reported in the area.
Oh.
Which is kind of unusual.
So what kind of snakes are
like
you
giant
about?
Like anaconda size, like,
oh my gosh,
you know, 20-30 foot snake. That matter of fact, there was a group of witnesses, and I don't have it in front of me, to remember a year, I want to say it was in the 80s, in the intercoastal waterway down here in South Carolina, not too far from somewhat famous Myrtle Beach, just south of Myrtle Beach, these people on a boat allegedly witnessed a 40-foot large dark colored snake in the intercoastal waterway.
Wow.
Then there was another sighting in the late 90s, a little further inland from there, of a 30-footer. There have been numerous snakes captured that could have been turned loose that basically are identified as reticulated pythons. They're indistinguishable from such. So I don't know, you know, you got a lot of different layers of this thing where folks could be turning some snakes out that just get too big to manage, or they can't keep them anymore, or that type of thing. In some of the areas, it really doesn't get that harsh in the wintertime, and it's maybe not a stretch to think in the low country a large snake could burrow in a riverbank or something if there was a habitat available where it could get far enough, you know, underground, so to speak, that, you know, it might could feasibly live through the winter somehow.
Wow.
There's certainly no shortage of food.
Right.
You know, it's a buffet out there for them, for sure. So that's something that's, and I mean, I'm a family member. My great aunt, oddly enough, my cousins come riding up in the backyard, fixing to get out, and my great aunt went to walk out on the back porch, and they screamed for her to not open the door. And come to find out, she was like confused, but when the cousins like called her on the phone and said, "Don't come out there," said, "There's a big old snake on the porch." And sure enough, there was an 18-foot reportedly by the of what my cousins told me, the 18-foot reticulated python
was about to
be plotting on my great aunt. It might weigh 80 pounds.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's awful.
So,
that's awful.
Allegedly, a local law enforcement officer came and collected this specimen. He was not available for comment. I won't call his name, but he was on patrol in the middle area and just happened to collect snakes like that. He's a keeper of snakes and a lover of reptiles and things like that. Very much into that sort of thing. So, allegedly, he took the great beast somewhere, but allegedly, and I did not see a picture, but I had people that, you know, that I know telling me that, yeah, that snake was like 18 foot long. And there's other examples of very large snakes, like a very large rat snake, or what appeared to be a black rat snake, was photographed, and the local TV station had the gentleman and the photographs on TV and everything. And they had people coming from all over the world trying to capture the specimen that was running around in downtown Columbia in people's backyards under sheds and stuff, and they never caught the thing, but there was pictures of it.
Wow.
But allegedly, the rat snake was about 16 foot long and would have easily shattered the world record. However, so there were several institutions that were had people in Columbia, South Carolina, trying to catch that rat snake.
Wow.
Things do grow big around here sometimes. But, you know, when you start talking about 30-foot snake or something like that, then you're in the, you know, world-class pythons and anacondas or whatever. So, you know, maybe it's an indigenous snake. Maybe it's not. But I will say this. There are Native American legends of a very, very large, dark snake that lives around the rivers that will eat you.
Black snake.
That legend persists from the Carolinas and Florida all the way at least to Texas, and perhaps further out west than that. It's a legend, is a recurring theme in several cultures, and that's something. There again, I put a little bit of credence in Native American culture, and you know they were here a lot longer than us, white folks, so to speak. Not to say that I'm not. I mean, I'm largely Cherokee, but I will say this, you can't take it literally all the time, because the spirit world and the physical world is two different things sometimes, but there's a lot to be said for Native American and First Nations accounts of indigenous species. It's just there is, if I wanted to go find out about orangutans in Borneo, I would want to talk to the locals. You know, what do y'all know? I mean, y'all been here, y'all tell me. You know, so you got to kind of take it seriously to a certain degree. So when I hear reports of the big black snake and all these various Native American cultures, That's like something that almost validates that a little bit. It makes me think that there's some possible validity to some of these reports, even though I haven't seen it with my own eyes. But it certainly by no means takes away from the contemporary reports. And if anything, it would tend to back those up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, and we've heard, I had a gal from the Dakota peoples up in like close to Mandan, North Dakota. So that's pretty far north. And she told me about, it curled my toenails, the story she told me. And it was about the big black snake. And she was just full of these stories. And she said, you should come up and talk to the elders. And I said, would they talk to me? And she said, absolutely. So I got it. It's on my list. One of these days I got to get up there and talk to those guys. But yeah, it's just fascinating stuff for sure.
Yep.
But, yeah, but we are often, Mike, we are often on the reservations, and we go hand in hand with our Native friends out there in the field. In fact, you know, we were just out with one of them last weekend. So, yeah, they're very knowledgeable and seen a lot and have been here forever compared to us. So,
yep.
So Sasquatch, I got to ask about Sasquatch because you said you've seen him, right? You've had an encounter with Sasquatch.
Yeah, technically, too. When I was deer hunting one morning at the age of 14 on a fall morning in 1978, I was kind of more into UFOs and even ghosts because, like, my grandparents' house was, like, super haunted or whatever, so I thought that was really interesting. So I was into a lot of unexplained stuff, and I thought, you know, Bigfoot's cool, too, or whatever, but I wasn't really all that into Bigfoot or anything particularly. I had seen The Legend of Boggy Creek or whatever, and then I saw this. What I thought at the time, I just equated to, like, well, there's a gorilla. There's a giant gorilla in the woods. But then later, you know, once it kind of sunk in the following weeks or whatever, I realized if you see a gorilla in the woods in North America, you just saw a Bigfoot. You know, it took me a while to connect the dots. I was a little naive about it, I guess. When I saw the thing, the first thing, In retrospect, I was saying it didn't really look like The Legend of Boggy Creek, all like moss covered or kind of matty or woolly looking or anything. Yeah. It had a real healthy coat, like a black bear that was in good shape or whatever, you know, and just wasn't no leaves in it or nothing matted or anything like that. It was just like a healthy gorilla. This is a big old gorilla walking through the woods in South Carolina, you know, so that blew my mind. And I didn't go in the woods for a long time, but I sure started doing some research. And one thing led to another or whatever. And then only about five or six miles from there, just on the other side of the river and downriver, I saw a Bigfoot at a further distance run. I saw it take off running.
Wow.
And I had a camera with me at the time, and I've been, my God, working for whatever it was, 30 some odd years, trying to see another one all that time. And I was crossing a creek, and my camera's in my backpack in a dry bag or whatever, because I'm thigh deep in a creek, but I saw it. And also in 2012, there was a nighttime encounter where I'm pretty much, I know that's what was standing there, but I can't prove it because it was just so dark or whatever. But those two times, there was two times in the daylight where I know I seen a Bigfoot. It wasn't in a bear, it wasn't somebody in a ghillie suit, or it wasn't nobody in a gorilla suit or nothing like that. Wow. In 1978, I saw it kind of from behind and from the side a little bit. I didn't see his face that good, but it was pretty close. I mean, it was like maybe 50 feet at one time.
That's really close. 50 feet.
Yes. It was close for me to get really, really scared and pee my pants. And,
right?
And I was close. Sitting there. Yeah, I was sitting there with a loaded shotgun because I was deer hunting. And the whole time I was just praying that it wouldn't turn around and look at me because I was so scared I would have had a heart attack. And I just kept thinking, if it comes at me, I'm just going to shoot it in the face and try to blind it or something and then throw the gun at it and jump in the river or whatever. I think.
Yeah.
Because it had me hemmed up if it wanted me. I was just the river or him. Or I say him. I assume it was a male. I just based on his, I don't know, his girth. But, you know, it could have been a female. I don't know. But that was a kind of the big one that changed my life was that fall morning in 1978. That was all about cryptozoology from then on. Especially, like I say, 10 years later, the lizard man thing happened in 88. And in 89 is when I saw the big bird. So within about a 10 or 12 year period, I went from not really thinking a whole lot about cryptozoology to being all in on cryptozoology.
Well, right. With those experiences, I mean.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Have you ever seen a Black Panther in those woods down there, Mike?
I have not, but you know, we get a tremendous amount of reports of black cat, large black cats, melanistic cats on the prowl down here, especially around the Edisto River Basin, more so than anywhere else by far.
Wow.
The Edisto River is the place. I mean, they got a little town down here where, you know, it's the local high school mascots, the Panthers, and there's a Panther parlor in town over here. You go get your ice cream or whatever. You know, it's kind of like part of the culture here. It's not, you know, the wildlife farm might tell you there's no such a thing, but you can't find nobody who lives down there that'll tell you that.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Cool. Exactly.
I've never seen one, but I get a lot of reports, and I know other people, I hear about it all the time. And we also get, like, regular blonde, if you will, like, Eastern Cougar sightings on occasion. But the Black Panther sightings are more numerous, actually, than the Cougar sightings.
Wow.
Yeah, I heard that. So, Heidi, last year when I was down for the Lancasters premiere of their film, a lot of the researchers down there, so they're in Bristol, Virginia, Mike, which is kind of close to you. It's kind of on the four corners of Tennessee and Virginia and Kentucky.
Not too far.
Yeah. And a lot of the researchers down there at the premiere were telling us about these panthers, the Black Panthers that they've been seeing. So, yeah, interesting stuff coming from down there, you know. So now I lost my train of thought. What was I going to ask? Well, the panthers was cool. What do you think? So what do you know about the goat man of the Popelick Trestle up there in Louisville? I know you're a little ways away from there, but.
The goat man. Yeah, you know, I have never. It is. I've never been to that location, which is a bit of a shame. I understand there was recently a fatality.
That's right. Last night, Heidi, this weekend, Sunday, two girls were on the train trestle and were killed. One was killed, I think one's in intensive care. We did an investigation there last year when we went down for CryptidCon. And it's a crazy place. It's definitely a crazy place. I can see where you would get under the spell or whatever happens there and be lured up into the top of the trestle. There's something there. And we got some pretty good EVPs when we were there.
Yeah, we did.
Strange things that happened to us. So, yeah, I think there's probably something to that one. But yeah,
well, you know, it may be because there's other places that report, you know, a goat man type entity. And that would include the Fort Mott Devil of South Carolina, Fort Mott lies near the confluence of the Wateree and Congaree rivers. It was of great strategic importance in the Revolutionary War because it was the highway, the water highway, if you will, to get supplies from Charleston to Camden. All right, so it was famous for a skirmish that occurred there and other things like that. But there's a long persistent tale of the Fort Mott Devil, and that is a different thing depending on who you're talking to. What started all was a ghost story of sorts, if you will, a very strange tale of a couple that invited a stranger into their home there at Fort Mott. And the stranger acted in a very peculiar manner. And they became very wary, even though they wished to be generous and hospitable, they became very wary and uneasy of the stranger. And at one point, apparently his headwear shifted where they thought the woman in the house saw a horn on his head. So,
wow.
that raised quite a bit of concern, as one might imagine, in the time period. This, of course, was like in the 18th century. So a lot of superstition and religion and things like that going on. So allegedly, the woman produced a Bible. And upon seeing the Bible, the stranger fled in anger out of the door. And this is, you hear this in some different ghost stories around the nation. He left a hoof mark burned on the door and a hoof mark burned on a rock outside in the yard because he had like cloven hooves, okay, and horns on. Well, then you got that. And then years later, you move into people seeing something running around in the woods that has a head like a goat with horns, okay? Then you also got even more contemporary stuff where people will see like a Bigfoot. Oh, it was in Fort Mott, though, so, oh, you must have seen the Fort Mott Devil or whatever. You know, so it's kind of like a different thing to different people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that there might be some reason to believe there may be some kind of goat man type entity running around, or at one time was running around the general area of Fort Mott, South Carolina.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, I did, Steph, I had other, I want to ask more questions and we're out of time.
I
but I also want, Mike, for you to tell people how to get a hold of you or where to find what you're working on, too, before we wrap up the show.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. If anybody ever wants to catch up with what I got going on, you can always check out my podcast. I produce and sometimes co-host a podcast with world-renowned crypto explorer Adam Davis, formerly of the United Kingdom. He's now residing stateside. But you can check us out over at Undiscovered Beast and Strange Phenomena. We have a Facebook page, a Facebook group, and, of course, a YouTube channel, and we're on Blog Talk Radio. So don't hesitate to check us out anytime. And, again, that's Undiscovered Beast and Strange Phenomena with Adam Davis.
Awesome. Perfect.
Cool.
Well, I'm posting it to our chat room here because we have quite a few people in the chat room. So I'm posting your Facebook page here in the chat room too, so people have that. Or in the your Facebook page in the chat room, yeah. So that people know how to get a hold of you if they want to follow your work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, this has really been a lot of fun. And,
You
know, we're newbies in the cryptozoology field. You know, of course, but it's just fascinating. We really love talking about this stuff. So thank you for your insight and your stories that you've shared with us tonight.
Yeah.
Well, you ladies are very welcome, and I'd be happy to come on anytime. Of course, my show runs pretty much congruent when yours ends, so I'm pretty busy at this time of night on Tuesday. But anytime I'm free, I'd be happy to come back on because I sure got plenty to say. I'll talk forever. You ask me a question.
Perfect.
Too.
Well, I have more questions for you. I didn't get to ask them all, so we'd have to have you back on.
For sure. We'll figure it out.
Sounds great.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike. And thanks, everybody, for listening to The Calling tonight. This was very fun.
Or it's The Gathering. If you want to call it The Gathering, too, that's
fine. For God's sakes, I did it again. I'm so sorry. Oh, now see Jerry's going, woo-hoo! Yeah, I'm listening to The Calling tomorrow night at 7.
And thanks everybody for tuning in tonight and joining us in the chat room. If you're in the chat room, and Stephanie needs to go get some sleep. And
I do.
You to Hera X again for hosting us, and Sarge, our fantastic producer. And we'll look forward to next week. We have another guest on next week, correct, Steph?
Well, we do. We're going to be talking about time travel with Dave. Ghost Dance. We'll be on next week talking about time travel, which is a favorite listener topic and one of our favorite topics, too. So,
yes,
it'll be a fun show.
Yeah.
So, join us again.
Everybody. Yeah.
See you. Have a good week.
And we'll see you all next week.
Bye now.